All right. Well, as we've already discussed, we are heading into Halloween next Sunday, right? So this is a time of year where like people like getting freaked out and like there's fear everywhere, you know. And it's like you go to the corn maze, and after a certain time, they start getting the axe killers out and the guys with the chainsaws and all the creepy stuff because I don't know, we just have a fetish with fear apparently, and it's a different kind of fear. But it is a fear. And so one of the things I want to talk about today is fear. And I'm not talking about like the, you know, oh my gosh, there's someone with an axe in my closet going to kill me fear. Or, oh my gosh, I have to talk in front of people and I did and my fly was open kind of fear. Not that kind of fear. Not like, oh, there's a spider. How many guys are afraid of spiders? Spiders? I hate spiders. I just can't stand spiders. They're so creepy. You know the little, I think they're called wolf spiders or something, but they're the ones that, like, when you move, they move with you, and they're like, and you just know. I know they're not thinking, but you know they're thinking, right? They're just planning and strategizing, and they're just like, I will take you out. I hate spiders. Snakes? I don't know. Yeah, whatever. Spiders? My goodness. Anyways, but we're not talking about that kind of fear either. What we're talking about today is the kind of more like awe and wonder and like encounter something that is just so beyond you, that's so beautiful, that's so powerful, that's so amazing. It's the mind-blown kind of fear. And we don't talk a lot about in our current culture about the fear of the Lord because it doesn't sound, it's like fear of the Lord? Well, isn't he all loving and gracious and kind and, you know, he's like, you know, big fuzzy guy. I just want to go up and hug him. And, you know, isn't that? Well, yes, he is loving and gracious, but he's, I doubt he's big and fuzzy. But maybe, I don't know. Maybe Jesus was hairy. I don't know. But, you know, all the pictures they show of Jesus, he's always like all tricked out and buff and he's got long flowing hair and all of that. I doubt it. Anyways. But I digress. Moving back on. Anyway, we're talking about a different kind of fear. Not this irrational fear, but this awe and wonder of who Jesus is. And we're working through the book of Acts. And last week we talked about Paul, who at the time was named Saul. And he had this encounter with Jesus. It's called the Damascus Road Experience. He's going along and he's actually on his way to Damascus to kill Christians and take them out. And he actually, at the time, if you think about the fear he was afraid that this new cult, this new sect, you know, this new false Messiah was going to, you know, come in and take over and end up ruining, you know, the people of God, the Israelites, and ruin their opportunity to connect with their Messiah, you know, who he thought was their Messiah, which was actually Jesus, who he was persecuting. And so he's kind of all messed up, but like he's just like, he was a vengeful man. He says of himself later on that he was violent, you know, and so he's going to like physically take people out. He has this experience. This light shines down on him, and he hits the dirt, and he ends up seeing Jesus, and there's a conversion process. There's some visions that go on. Ananias comes and prays for him, and when he prays for him, the scales fall off his eyes. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit. He gets baptized, and then he takes some food, and he strengthens himself. So this is what we talked about last week. So Paul, Saul at the time, had this encounter with Jesus, and it radically changed his life. I mean, he came under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and that was the whole point of last week. So this week we're looking at how this fear of the Lord changes Saul and how he operates in it. So we're going to pick up in Acts 9, verses 19. This is right where, right after they had prayed for Saul. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. So a few days before, he's going to kill people who are preaching that way, right? So now he is preaching Jesus. Last week, we talked about all that he had been trained for, all of the knowledge he had of, you know, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, you know, the God, the Father, all of a sudden was illuminated by the Holy Spirit with his encounter with Jesus. And so now he goes, whoa, that's what those scriptures meant. That's what the prophets were saying. So he's like, wow, radical change. So now he is fearlessly proclaiming Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Radical transformation. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. So this guy who is, you know, I kind of wonder how many of these guys he was working with before. And now he's like, wait a minute. He was our number one cheerleader for wiping out Christians, and now we got to take him out. And they couldn't stand in, you know, with the, they couldn't stand and go toe to toe with him because he knew the word so well. He knew what was at their time, the scriptures. And he was just presenting it with the power of the Holy Spirit. And they just, all they could do is like, well, let's just kill him. But his followers took him, by the night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When they came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. So once again, we see this legitimate fear. I mean, this kind of speaks to how harsh Paul was, Saul, at the time, towards Christians. I mean, they were terrified of this guy. They were pretty sure he was going to take them out. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord. That was key. And the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved freely about in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. Go figure. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. So you see Saul, so now he doesn't have this fear of man or fear of, you know, some false Messiah. He has this fear of the Lord that moves him to fearlessly preach this name. There's no other name above Jesus, and so this transformation was radical. And now he's not afraid of anyone, but he's in this awe and wonder of who Jesus is, and it's playing out through Paul, where he's just preaching. He's like I say, like last week, I can't imagine. I mean, everything you thought that was, you know, your interpretation of Scripture was pointing this direction, and you were zealously serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of a sudden you have this encounter with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit says, nope, and now you're going this direction. You're serving the same God. You're reading the same, you know, the same Scriptures, but now it's just mind blown. Years and years of training, but now with the power of the Holy Spirit points to a different direction. It points to Jesus as the Messiah. And the awe in him must have been amazing. And I wonder, too, if at the end where it says that the people are living in the fear of the Lord, two things. One, there's peace, and they're living in the fear of the Lord. I wonder if there's peace is because that must have like thrown all of the people who were, you know, anti-Christian at that time into a tizzy. Because their poster child, you know, the leader of the movement is now one of them. So they're kind of going, you know, what do we do? But also for the Christians, could you imagine once they see the transformation in Saul? Just, I mean, that would just blow your mind. It would just up that ante, that fear of the Lord, that awe and wonder, like God can take this man who is killing Christians and turn him around. And now he is fearlessly preaching. Now he's our poster boy, you know? I mean, it's just, it's absolutely astounding. I could just imagine that would be some of what the awe of what was going on, of that fear of the Lord at that time. So this awe and wonder of who Jesus is, this fear of the Lord, as it says, is what they're living by. And it's through the Holy Spirit that there's peace and comfort coming. And they understand more and more of the fear of the Lord. So what is the fear of the Lord? Or what is it to fear the Lord? Let's say it that way. I'm going to go through a ton of scriptures here. So what we'll do is, like, probably on the website, we post, right now, the only place you can get the podcast, if you'd like to listen to it again, is on the website. Normally, it sends it out to a bunch of different places, but it's not doing that currently. So, but if you'd like to see this again, or listen to it again, you can go to the website, valleylifechurch.org, or valleylifeyakima.org, and we will post all of these scriptures there, and I'm going to go through a lot, okay? They tell me not to do that, you know, like in the preachers are just like, don't go through a lot of scripture, just pick one and focus on that. Well, apparently I'm not going to do that today. But what I'd like you to do is, if you can, we'll post it there, and we'll try to post it on Facebook too, but just to look process. Because one of the things I really feel we need to do is to engage with the Word, right? So you hear what I say, but then maybe it's a good idea to take these scriptures and go back and just start meditating on them yourself, because this fear of the Lord thing is really important. And one of the ways that we grow in it, which we'll talk about later, is to read the Word, right? So here's a bunch of scriptures that you can start meditating on, but let's move on. So to fear the Lord is to have a growing understanding of who is ultimate in authority and love. So who is ultimate in authority and love? Luke 12:4-7 says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has the power to throw you in hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So it's almost like mid-thought here. It's like the gears really shift. It's like on one hand, it's like, okay, you need to fear the person who can chuck you into hell. You know, who cares what they do to your body? I mean, I'm not saying that lightly, because I mean, I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want to be tortured. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying here is fear the one who can cast you into hell. Fear the one who has authority and power over all of your being, your soul, your spirit. Fear that person. And that sounds really harsh. It's like, oh, you know, it's like, fear me, or I will beat you, or I will cast you into hell. That's kind of what it sounds like, right? But what it's saying is that Jesus has the ultimate authority, and we need to understand that, and we need to be in awe and respect and understand that he is the ultimate authority. There is no other name above Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying here. But then he also says, this is the love part, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? You know, and he talks about, you know, they're not forgotten by God. These little birds, they're not forgotten by God. The hairs on your head, which for some of you is easier to count than others, but the hairs on your head, he knows all of them, right? And once again, you're thinking, well, that's kind of weird, you know, I mean, but what it's trying to say is that Jesus knows you intimately and he loves you ultimately. No one loves you more or knows you better than Jesus. So we stand in awe of this person who is ultimate in justice, but also mercy, if you want to look at it like that way. Ultimate in authority and in love. He is the ultimate judge, and yet he is the one who died for our sins and showed the ultimate mercy and grace to us. And that's where the fear of the Lord comes in. It's, once again, it's not like this, oh, God's going to throw me into hell. But it's this healthy respect that knowing God can throw you into hell, you know? And whatever your theology is on hell, the point being is that it's an eternity separated from God, wherever, you know, whatever that looks like. It's not, you don't want to be there, right? So this ultimate authority, as we grow and understand that, it just creates in us this like, wow. That's to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord is to have a deep sense of humility before the Lord. Proverbs 3:7 says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. We really, really, really need to figure out how to walk humbly before the Lord. You know, I think I've said this before, but, you know, I constantly hear people quoting the scripture, when we're talking about masks and COVID and everything that's going on right now, God has not given us a spirit of fear. True, 100%. I agree with that. But I don't hear people quoting the scripture very often where it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. As people arrogantly say, my way is the right way. Arrogantly say, you're living in fear. I'm awesome and you're not. We need more humility. And I'm not saying people aren't living in fear. That's not the point. The point is that sometimes we come across as we're the ones who know everything. We have the corner on truth. We have the corner on the scientists. We have the corner on whatever it is. It's like sometimes I just want to say, do you understand that how you're coming across right now is so arrogant? It's like the Lord opposes the proud. I don't want to be in that place. I do not want to be in that place. Once again, I said this last week. I'm not saying you can't be passionate about things. I'm not saying you can't take a stand for things. You should be passionate about it. But just don't be an arrogant dirtbag. It's so annoying. And if there's one way you want people to quit listening to you, is just be an arrogant dirtbag. There's a cultural term for that, but I'm not going to use it. Let's move on. To fear the Lord is to have a deep gratitude for all he has done, all he is doing, and all he will do. Hebrews 12, 28 through 29 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. So worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." That's that fear of the Lord. "For our God is a consuming fire." I just love that. It's like all that he's done, we're receiving. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. What God is building in his church cannot be shaken. It will stand the test of time. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the kingdom of God and the church that he is building. It can't. So we should just worship God in awe and be so amazed and thankful for what he has done, that he died on the cross for our sins. Never, ever take that for granted. But let's be thankful and let's worship him and allow that to come out in worship and awe, because our God is a consuming fire. Several places in the Chronicles of Narnia, they refer to Aslan, who is, in the books, he's a big lion and he's, Jesus. And several times they say, he's not a tame lion. he's good, but he's not a tame lion. And I just feel like that's who Jesus is. I mean, he is so good. He is so awesome. But he is the Lamb of God, but he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah, right? He is the ultimate authority. He is a consuming fire. So let's gratitude rise up in your heart. It's so hard to be grumpy when you're thankful for something. To fear the Lord is to put all your trust eggs in one basket. There's the don't put all your eggs in one basket. They talk about that like in finances or whatever it is, kind of diversify and spread out. When it comes to trust, stick them all in one basket, because that's the only place your eggs aren't going to get crushed. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Plain and simple. There is nothing else on this entire planet that is trustworthy. There's not a person in this room who is trustworthy, including me. Nobody is trustworthy. We all break trust at one time or another. The only one who is trustworthy is God our Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Our God is trustworthy. Trust him. Trust him completely. And that's part of the fear of the Lord. So, to live in the fear of the Lord is to identify with him. So once again, we look at Saul. Saul's this guy who's out, he's running around, he's trying to persecute the church, and he's like anti-Jesus 100%. And then all of a sudden, he's like fearlessly declaring that Jesus is the Son of God and proving it. A radical shift where we identify with him. We say, yep, he's our guy. We are Jesus people. Maybe not from the 60s kind of Jesus people, but maybe, I don't know, but we are Jesus people. If you're here today, if you're worshiping, if you want to be a Christian, that means you're a Jesus person. You're all about Jesus. Everything should be about Jesus. Your whole life should be about Jesus. He should be teaching you how to live. He should be guiding you. He should be, all in all should be Jesus. We are Jesus people, and we need to identify with him. And we need to not be ashamed when we're out, other than here, to say that I'm a Jesus person. But hopefully you're not, just squawking that out in a proudful, arrogant way. But you're living it in a way that when someone looks at your life, they goes, yep, that's a Jesus person. There's a Jesus person. I don't care who you are, right? Another one is was Peter. Peter denies Jesus. I don't know the guy. He even throws curses down. Beep, 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 beep. I don't know him. Beep, 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 beep. Whatever he's saying, I'm sure in Hebrew, Hebrew is kind of a kind of language, isn't it? It's got lots of h's and h's, isn't it? It's a little, it kind of sounds like that. Is it like, I don't know, maybe not. I just thought it'd be swearing, it'd be a lot of phlegm coming out, but maybe not. So Peter goes from denying Jesus, and then Jesus restores him. Peter, do you love me, right? Peter, do you love me? And then he goes to, as we read in chapters 4 and 5 of Acts just a few weeks ago, he stands boldly before people and says, you know what? You tell me I can't preach Jesus, but that's too bad. You know, he's willing to go to jail. He's willing to get beaten, you know, because of the name of Jesus. He's identifying with him. We need to be that passionate about Jesus. To live in the fear of the Lord is to be identified by him. So the next one, to be identified by him. So not only do we identify with him, but we are identified by him. So you look at this once again, you look at Saul, that radical change in his life where he is identified by maybe his own stuff. Later on in Philippians, Paul says, he gives this list of all of these accomplishments, all of this stuff that used to identify him. You know, he's his nationality, his education, who he is, everything about him. He's like, if he was to be a guy today, I mean, he would be like the guy, you know. He has a pedigree. He has a list of accomplishments that everyone would look at and say, this man is successful. This man, you know, he knows who he's at. He's got his stuff together. He is just the guy, right? So this is what Paul says about all of that stuff, his education, his nationality, just everything, all about who he is. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Everything that we try to do to identify ourselves is garbage compared to Jesus Christ. And so not only do we need to identify with him, we need to be identified by him. Everything about who we are, talked about this last week, everything about who we are needs to be identified and formed and shaped and empowered by Jesus Christ. The next one, to live in the fear of the Lord is to hate what he hates and love what he loves. Proverbs 8:13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. That's a pretty easy one to preach on, right? To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. There are so many scriptures in the Bible about how God opposes people who are arrogant. So I just like, and for me, it's really hard to read all of them because that's just my tendency. Because so many times I think, I'm pretty awesome, right? I think that about myself, and then God's like, no, and then something happens and I realize, I ain't that awesome. I'd really like to not have to fight with that one, but I do. But I digress. Hate evil. There are things that you can hate. You want to teach your kids to hate something? Teach them to hate evil. But we also need to, you know, if we just stay there, then we can just be a people who all we do is fight against things. I don't want to be known for what we're against, although there are things that we're against, right? There are things that we should stand against. I get that. But we need to love what he loves, and that's what we should be known for. And the obvious one for that is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whatever version, you know, you read. And that's the one scripture that most people quote in the King James. But God loves mercy and justice and righteousness and generosity, and he loves us. So let's be people who love people and love the things he loves. And let's be known for loving the things that the Father loves, right? Loving the things that Jesus walked in and told us to walk in. He tells us, like the fruit of the Spirit. So, what does the fear of the Lord lead to? How does it manifest itself in this life? Now, I'm not want to say these ones because it's like, okay, let's fear the Lord so we get these benefits. All right? But it's kind of the fruit of a beautiful relationship with Jesus Christ. As we grow in the fear of the Lord, then these things start bearing fruit in our lives. The first one is the fear of the Lord leads to life. Proverbs 14:27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. So this place of awe and respect and humility before the Lord leads to life, right? Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Another Another easy one. See, I stole that point right out of the Bible. Didn't even need to, like, you know, contextualize it at all. It just, bam, there it is. The fear of the Lord leads to protection. Proverbs 14:26 says, "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress." You know, when I get in my mind, when I think about a fortress, I don't think about, like, you know, I mean, like some little small, like, wood hut or something like that. You picture concrete, you know, thick concrete and battlements and, you know, like the strong fortress. That's kind of what it's saying here. A secure fortress. And for his children, it will be a refuge. That one's really cool. You know, we can't, guarantee our children's safety, right? I mean, as parents, we do our best. We want to protect our kids. But ultimately, we need to trust the Lord with them. And as we fear the Lord, then he will take care of our kids. That's an important thing. Because we can't put our kids in front of the Lord. But as we fear the Lord, he protects us, he guards us, and it'll be a refuge for our children. Proverbs 14:27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death." That's the second half of the scripture we read earlier. Turning the man, a man or a person from the snares of death. So as we fear the Lord, these things that we look out and we think, man, you know, like, I just don't want anyone to take advantage of me. I don't want to get, you know, snookered. I don't want to get mugged. Whatever. There's things out there. There's these snares that, you know, Satan can set for us. There's snares in life that try to take you out. Well, as we walk in the fear of the Lord, we can trust that he's going to, you know, guide us through those places. The fear of the Lord leads to contentment. Proverbs 15:16 says, "Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil." If you want to be content, fear God. Because what that means is then you're putting all your trust in him, right? And you understand that he is the ultimate authority, and you understand that he will take care of you. And so you know that these other things that you want to be identified by don't. And so you're content with where you're at. So better to have nothing and the fear of the Lord than to gain the whole world but lose your soul, as it says in another place. The fear of the Lord leads to holiness. Proverbs 16:6. "Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil." So this concept of, you know, living a godly life, being holy, being righteous before the Lord. Well, we do that by fearing him. We do that by walking in the fear of the Lord, and it leads to holiness because we can avoid evil, which is similar to the avoid the snares, right? The fear of the Lord leads to another one, long life. Proverbs 10:27, "The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short." So if you want to live a long time, fear the Lord. It's no guarantee. Once again, these aren't guarantees, but they are fruit of a life that's walking in the fear of the Lord. So how to grow in the fear of the Lord? We're going over again. I'll go quick. First of all, is we need to encounter Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We do this, it's like this circle thing going on, right? So by the power of the Holy Spirit, we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ through faith. We trust in him. We say, "God, I'm a dirtbag. I don't want to be a dirtbag anymore, so I surrender my life to you," right? And we confess that Jesus is Lord, and we believe that God raised him from the dead, that he is the living Savior. And then we begin this relationship with the Lord. So somewhere in your life, you have an encounter. Maybe it's not a Damascus Road encounter, but somewhere in your life, you realize, you know what? I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he rose again. I believe he's the only one who can take care of my sins, and I surrender my life to him, right? So that's where it starts. But as we grow, we see that, you know, as we have this first initial encounter with Jesus, but as we grow in the fear of the Lord, one of the things we need to do is fight the noise. And I think we've said this so many times recently, but there is so much noise. You guys need to fight the noise. There's so much that's trying to draw your attention away. There's so many things that are trying to say, you know, be identified by me, look at me, I'm awesome, you know, fear me, whatever it is. Maybe you're doing that to yourself, I don't know. But Proverbs 23:17 says, Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Our world is yelling at us constantly. It's kind of funny right now because there's a shipping shortage going on. So all these commercials in different places are saying, buy now, quickly, because it won't get in here in time for Christmas. It's like, so we get in this panic, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get a Christmas present, I better buy it now. You know, so this noise is yelling at us and trying to like guide our lives and take our energy and steer us in a direction that's not towards the Lord. We need to fight that noise and we need to get into this place where we fear the Lord. Where we don't look out at what's going on out there and think, oh man, the grass is greener out there. It's not. It's not. We don't want to envy anything that's happening from a worldly perspective. We want to fear the Lord. So we need to fight the noise. The next one is seek Him passionately. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5 says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as gold or as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You need to zealously seek Jesus. Let Him change your life. Get into the Word of God. Read your Bible every day. Every day, grow in your Bible reading. Grow in, you know, find a devotional, find something, find a way to engage God through His Word. That's what the Scripture is talking about. Like, we should be so hungry for Jesus that we seek Him like hidden treasure. And I get sometimes it's hard. Some days it's hard. It is. But we need to ask the Holy Spirit to continually illuminate our hearts to ourselves, you know, so that we can start peeling back the noise and peeling back things that are distracting from us learning and growing in the fear of the Lord. Seek Him. Go after Jesus. Seek Him above all else. Amen? Amen. So once again, we're going to post all these scriptures somewhere in various places. I just encourage you to go back and read through them. Don't necessarily have to listen to the sermon again, but you can if you want. But let's be passionate about seeking the Lord. Let's be passionate about walking in that fear of who He is, that awe and wonder. Allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate over and over again, you know, the wonderful things that God has done for you. Walk in gratitude. Walk in humility. Seek His face. Let's stand together. I'll pray for you. We'll worship. Father God, I ask that You would teach us what it is to fear the Lord. God, Holy Spirit, we need You. We need You to just light a fire in our souls, a hunger to know Jesus more, a hunger to grow in the awe and wonder and majesty of who He is. Teach us what it means to be humble. Teach us what it means to be thankful. Teach us what it means to be earnestly seeking Your face. God, You are so good. I thank You for all that You have done for us. I thank You that through You, that You are the way, the truth, and the life. I thank You that what You're building in Your church is unstoppable. God, we have what the world needs. We have, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Your love and Your grace being expressed through us, we have the elements of change. We can see people who are aggressively moving away from the Lord turn around when they encounter You and move towards You. It's happened before. It can happen again. God, I thank You for each person here who has surrendered their life to You. And I pray You would grow in them in grace and beauty and majesty and power. And that we would boldly go out and identify with You, be identified by You as we declare Your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.